This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and praise the name of Jesus. We're so glad to be able to bring you this program, and it's just such a joy to be sharing the good things of God together. We've been studying this week about some of the encounters that we read about in the New Testament between Jesus and, in some cases, some very notorious people. I want to turn to a fairly familiar story in John chapter 4 this morning, the woman at the well. It's important to know the background of this, and when you do, it suddenly opens up the story in a wonderful new way. We start at verse 3. It says that Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And immediately you have to know that Jews did not typically do that. If a Jew wanted to go from Judea, the area around Jerusalem, up to the area of Galilee, around the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, typically they'd cross over the Jordan River in the south, make their way up through the Decapolis, and cross over again when they get to the Galilee region. And the reason is very clear. There was such hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans that if they could possibly avoid it, they wouldn't even go through the Samaritan territory. It's interesting that we find Jesus doing just the opposite. Jesus almost seems to go out of his way to make contact with the Samaritans. The background of all of that is that after the Assyrians destroyed the kingdom of Israel in 721 BC, they had repopulated the territory with Gentiles from all over their empire. It was a deliberate policy, and they followed it wherever they went. They conquered a land, and then they brought in foreigners to keep there from being a homogeneous community that could rise up in rebellion. And so in the territory that had been the northern part of Israel, we find Gentiles coming in and intermarrying with the remainder of the Israeli people who lived there. The net result was that the very thing that God had repeatedly commanded the Jews not to do had happened to their northern neighbors. He had commanded them not to intermarry with Gentiles, not to allow the purity of their walk with him to become encrusted over and amalgamated with other religious practices. But by virtue of the Assyrian program, that's exactly what happened. The Jews themselves in Judea and in Galilee weren't all that pure themselves, but their attitude toward the Samaritans was, these are untouchable people, we have nothing to do with them. And so the typical traveling route would be go all the way out of the country and come back in again, cross over the Jordan twice, but Jesus didn't do that. He came right through the middle of Samaria to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And it says Jacob's well was there. This is at the foot of Mount Gerizim. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about noon. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus initiated the conversation with her. "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone away to buy some food, and the Samaritan woman is totally taken aback at the fact that Jesus speaks to her. As we discover in a few moments, there's good reason for that. It's not only that she's a woman and this is a man who has not been properly introduced to her. It's not only that she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew, and it's clear that he is one from his accent. But beyond all of that, she's a pretty shady lady. That's undoubtedly the reason that she came to the well at the middle of the day. Most folks, if they had to go to the well, would do so early in the morning or late in the evening when the temperature was cooler. But you get the sense that this woman was not very well thought of by most of the people in her town, and so she came to the well when nobody else was there. And here, lo and behold, on this particular day, she comes to draw water at noon, and here's a Jewish gentleman sitting by the well, and he speaks to her. She's astonished. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" And then we read a little phrase that appears repeatedly in the New Testament, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus does not respect that kind of a barrier, does he? Jesus cuts right through all the social custom. Have you ever noticed how often Jesus seeks out the person that nobody else will speak to? Jesus comes into Jericho, and there's this funny little tax collector up in the top of the tree. Nobody would even let him get close enough to see what's going on. He had to climb a tree. And Jesus stops under the tree and says, "Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm coming to your house for dinner today." I wonder how long it had been since anybody had come to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. The whole town hated him. He was a turncoat as far as they were concerned. Not only had he sold out to the Romans, but he was taking his own fat slice of graft on top of it. But Jesus seeks him out, spends time with him, and ends up saying, "This day salvation has come to this house, for Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham." Jesus seeks out Levi, another tax collector, and exactly the same thing happens. Jesus commends a woman of the streets as being an example of love and one who had received forgiveness while Simon the Pharisee didn't. Have you noticed how Jesus so often reaches out to touch the leper? Just think about it. He didn't need to do that. He could have just said, "Be healed." And undoubtedly, the man, the woman, would have been healed. But Jesus goes out of his way to touch, to make contact, to express his own tender love for those that everybody else has nothing to do with. And so he speaks to this woman. I'm interested that he first asks her to give him a drink. Did you ever stop to think that while it may be more blessed to give than to receive, sometimes we have to put ourselves in the position of receiving? Did you ever notice the way that that confers dignity upon this woman? She's despised. Nobody will have anything to do with her. They consider her little better than a harlot. And Jesus says to her, "I consider you a person of worth. I consider that you have something to give to me." I wonder how long it's been since she heard that from a man who had anything in mind other than her body. "You're a person of worth. Would you give me a gift?" Just water. Jesus has a direction in mind. He knows where he wants to go with this lady. He wants to bring her to the point of receiving living water from him. But that's not where he begins. He doesn't grab her lapel. He doesn't cram the gospel down her throat. He begins by saying, "You have something to give to me, and I value you as a person. And I don't care if you're a Samaritan, and I don't care if you're a woman that I haven't been introduced to, and I don't care if you're virtually a harlot. I value you. I honor you, and I would receive something from you." She's astonished by all this, and so Jesus answers her, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." Well, now the woman is completely confused. He asked of me a drink, and yet he has living water to give to me? She says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman thinks he's talking about physical drinking water, but he's already beginning to move her to another level in the discussion. It's interesting that Jesus invites some fishermen one day to follow him, and he says, "I'll make you fishers of men." Undoubtedly, the typical way in which people caught fish back then was using nets, but I find in this and so many other passages a marvelous picture of Jesus himself as the fisherman, throwing out his bait, waiting for somebody to nibble, then jerking it just a little bit, sinking the hook, and finally reeling them in. This woman is intrigued by the bait. Who wants to come in the middle of the day in the heat of the sun to draw water from the well and carry it on my head all the way back home again? If he can give me living water, boy, I want it. And Jesus says, I'll give you the kind of water that will well up inside of you and you will never thirst again. The woman says, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Then we just have to smile at what happens next. Jesus says to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman says, I have no husband. And Jesus says to her, You're right in saying, I have no husband. Now, of course, you've had five so far, and the fellow you're living with, you're not married to, but you've told me the truth. Can you see Jesus saying that in any way other than with a small, quizzical smile on his face? He had a gift of knowledge from God. He knew what this woman was like. He knew it before the conversation began. He knew that she's gone from house to house and bed to bed and husband to husband, and she's living in an adulterous affair right now. And yet he still loved her. He confronts her with herself. He confronts her with the truth. He confronts her with his knowledge of her. And yet it's not judgmentally. It's in love. And she again is astonished. The net result is, she says, I met somebody who told me everything I ever did, and he loved me. And you know, if you read this story on to the end, she runs back into town, and she tells all of her friends that she's met Messiah. I'm talking to you today about a Jesus who knows you exactly as you are. Whatever you've done, whoever you've fooled, you haven't fooled him. He knows what you are, he knows who you are, and he loves you as you are. And it doesn't matter what social barriers there are, he reaches out and he invites you to come to him and receive living water, the water of new life, welling up inside of you, so that wherever you've looked for satisfaction up till now and you've not found it, Jesus satisfies. You know, the watchword of the East African revival is Yeshu Atosha. Jesus satisfies. Would you come to him this day? Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whoever you've been with, if you're not satisfied with what the world has to offer, come to Jesus. He satisfies. And that's the inside story.